जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी जन वल्लभागिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परवचाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रीपाद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shishi Guru and Gauranga. Namaste, Vishnu Vishnu. So this morning we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 4, verse number 18. किरात हुनंद्र पुलिंद पुलकश अभीर शुंभा यवनाथ साधय येने च पापा यदपाशयाशय शुध्यन्ति तस्मै प्रभ विष्णवे नमः Please chant.
Yeah.
go for it. Thank you. Word to word, Kirata, a province of old Bharat. Huna, part of Germany and Russia. Andhra, a province of southern India. Pulinda, the Greeks. Pulkasha, another province. Abhira, part of old Sindh. Shumbha, another province. Yavana, the Turks. Kashadaya, the Mongolian province. Ye, even those. Anye, others. Cha, also. Papaha, addicted to sinful acts. Yat, whose. Apashayashaya, having taken shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Shuddhyanti, at once purified. Tasmai, unto him. Parabhavishnave, unto the powerful Vishnu. Namaha, my respectful obeisances. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Kirata, Huna, Andhra, Pulinda, Pulkasha, Abhira, Shumbha, Yavana, members of the Khasa races, and even others addicted to sinful acts, can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord due to his being the supreme power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Purport. Now Prabhupada is going to give who these people are. Kirata, a province of old Bharat Varsha mentioned in the Bhishma Parva of Mahabharata. Generally, the Kiratas are known as the aboriginal tribes of India, and in modern days, the Santa Parganas in Bihar and Chota Nagpur might comprise the old province named Kirata. Huna, the area of East Germany and part of Russia, is known as the province of the Hunas. Accordingly, sometimes a kind of hill tribe is known as the Hunas. Andhra, a province in southern India mentioned in Bhishma Parva of Mahabharata. It is still extant under the same name. Pulinda, it is mentioned in the Mahabharata, Adi Parva, 174-38. The inhabitants of the province of the name Pulinda. The country was conquered by Bhishma Dev and Sahadev. The Greeks are known as Pulindas, and it is mentioned in the Vana Parva of Mahabharata that the non-Vedic race of this part of the world would rule over the world. Interesting. This Pulinda province was also one of the provinces of Bharat, and the inhabitants were classified amongst the Kshatriya kings. But later on, due to their giving a Brahminical culture, they were mentioned as Malechas, just as those who are not followers of the Islamic culture are called Kafirs, and those who are not followers of the Christian culture are called heathens. Abhira. This name also appears in the Mahabharata, both in the Sabha Parva and Bhishma Parva. It is mentioned that this province was situated on the river Saraswati in Sindh. The modern Sindh province formerly extended on the other side of the Arabian Sea, and all the inhabitants of that province were known as Abhiras. They were under the domination of Maharaj Yudhishthir, and according to the statements of Markandeya, the Malechas of this part of the world would also rule over Bharat. Later on, this proved to be true, as in the case of the Pulindas. On behalf of the Pulindas, Alexander the Great conquered India, and on behalf of the Abhiras, Muhammad Ghori conquered India. These Abhiras were also formerly, and this is certainly another Muhammad, not Muhammad for the religion. These Abhiras were also formerly Kshatriyas within the Brahminical culture, but they gave up the connection. The Kshatriyas who were afraid of Parashuram had hidden themselves in the Caucasian hilly regions, later on became known as Abhiras, and the place they inhabited was known as Abhira Desh. Shumbhas or Kankas, the inhabitants of the Kanka province of old Bharat mentioned in the Mahabharata. Yavanas, Yavanas was the name of one of the sons of Bahajayati, who was given the part of the world known as Turkey to rule. Therefore, the Turks are Yavanas, due to being descendants of Maharaj Yavana. The Yavanas were therefore Kshatriyas, and later on, by giving up the Brahminical culture, they became Malechas Yavanas. Descriptions of the Yavanas are in the Mahabharata, Adi Parva 85-34. Another prince called Turvasu was also known as Yavana, and his country was conquered by Sahadev, one of the Pandavas. The western Yavana joined with Duryodhan in the battle Kurukshetra under the pressure of Karna. It is also foretold that these Yavanas also would conquer India, and it proved to be true. Kasa, the inhabitants of Kashadesh, are mentioned in the Mahabharata, Drona Parva, those who have a stunted growth of hair on the upper lip are generally called Kasas. As such, the Kasas are the Mongolians, the Chinese, and others who are so designated. Interesting history here. Okay. The above mentioned historical names are different nations of the world. Even those who are constantly engaged in sinful acts are all corrigible to the standard of perfect human beings, if they take shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Jesus Christ and Muhammad, two powerful devotees of the Lord, have done tremendous service on behalf of the Lord on the surface of the globe. And from the version of Srila Shukadeva Goswami, it appears that instead of running a godless civilization in the present context of the world situation, if the leadership of world affairs is entrusted to the devotees of the Lord, for which a worldwide organization under the name and style of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has already been started, then by the grace of the Almighty Lord, there can be a thorough change of heart in human beings all over the world, because the devotees of the Lord are able authorities to effect such a change by purifying the dust-worn minds of the people in general. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai. I was asked to just to read till this point, and the next speaker will speak from here. Om Agyanatimandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshunyantamina Tasmai Shri Guru Vai Namaha Nama Om Shri Padaya Krishna Vishraya Bhutaleshana Te Bhakti Vedanta Swami Karamne Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Vancha Kalpatari Vascha Kripa Sindhu Deva Cha Patita Nam Pavane Bhur Vashnavi Bhur Namo Namaha. So, as we all know, this is a very popular verse. Last time when Pushkar Prabhu gave class, he was mentioning about the prayers that Srila Prabhupada chanted, and I wanted to hear the singing, but I didn't know where to get it, but I didn't even ask anybody, and devotees are desire trees, and it seems like they are situated in everybody's heart. So Mother Ragatvika, she sent me the recording for the prayers that Prabhupada sang. And I just changed my phone yesterday, and somehow I'm not able to, I wanted to put here for Prabhupada chanting this particular verse, but it's not working, my phone is not working. But they're very, very beautiful prayers. So if anybody wants to hear them and don't know where they are, Mother Ragatvika will forward them to you. I have them, I can also forward them to you. So, here in this verse, Sukadeva Goswami is saying prayers, and the prayers that he started reciting these prayers when Maharaj Parikshit asked to talk about Krishna, and some of the adjectives that were described, that Maharaj Parikshit described Krishna or Vishnu or the Supreme, he uses certain words. Okay, anupalakshaya, inconceivable. So he's asking, oh Sukadeva Goswami, oh my spiritual master, please tell me something about our Supreme Lord. And he uses certain adjectives, as he's inconceivable, he liberator of all distresses of his devotees, he cleanses the heart, he gets rid of the sins of anybody. Simply dedicating oneself unto the lotus feet of such a person, one gets that. So this is how Maharaj Parikshit was describing his Lord. And we see then Shukadeva Goswami, when he starts offering prayers before he responds to Maharaj Parikshit questions, he also uses similar adjectives for Krishna in the last few prayers. And so he's glorifying his supreme supremacy. He's describing that he's all auspicious, and he offers his obeisances again and again. But in this verse, he still does that. In this verse, Kirata Hunandara, he still does that. He says, I offer my respectful obeisances to the most powerful. But there's something unique in this verse. Sukadeva Goswami's saying, unlike in the previous verses, he's talking about taking shelter of the Supreme Lord, but here it seems like he's saying something, he's adding something. He's saying that all these races, even others addicted to sinful acts, can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord. So it seems like he's giving us how to take shelter of the Lord. And I don't see that in other verses also after that he mentions that. So in this verse, he particularly mentions that you take shelter of the devotees of the Lord. And why? Because due to his being the supreme power. So because the devotees are connected to him, to Radhisham, to Krishna Balaram, to Shishigonitai, because they're connected to them, that people can take shelter of the devotees and they can be purified. So why is that? What, for me, when I was reading that, thinking, why is that Sukadeva Goswami is saying that here? Well, Srila Prabhupada's purport actually gives us some clue on that. When I read this purport, besides all the history that Prabhupada is giving in there, two sentences really popped out to me that actually shows that why Sukadeva Goswami is saying that. Even Maharaj Parikshit in the previous verses, staple my notes, so they are all over the place, so I can't figure them out. But anyway, but even in the previous verses, Maharaj Parikshit, when he is talking to Shukadeva Goswami, he says something really amazing, and he's talking that here it is. He says, kindly clear up these doubtful inquiries, because you are not only very learned in the Vedic culture, literatures, and self-realized in transcendence, but are also a great devotee of the Lord, and are therefore as good as the personality of Godhead. So he's saying that he wants to hear from him because he is as good as the personality of Godhead. And so here also, Sukadeva Goswami is saying basically the same thing. But why? And this is what I wanted to address today. In this purport, Srila Prabhupada says, which is an amazing statement, if you read Prabhupada's sentences as he says and really meditate on it, it helps you to appreciate him, appreciate Krishna. He says here that Jesus Christ and Muhammad, two powerful devotees of the Lord, have done tremendous service on behalf of the Lord on the surface of the globe. I mean, what a sentence to write. I mean, if you really think about it, I mean, Srila Prabhupada, you know, from India, and certainly the Vedic culture was there in India, and people, either they worship Krishna or the demigods or everything in the line of the scriptures and in the Vedas. And later on, we know that, as described earlier, that different people conquered India, and thus they spread Muslim culture and Christianity. And you would think that Srila Prabhupada would have some issue about that. I mean, he certainly would talk about the Britishers coming to India and conquering, and he would get on the Britishers, you know, for what they did. And we're not going to go there because that was something really bad. But here, Srila Prabhupada is appreciating what they have done all over the globe. That is, he's including India as well. It's including everybody, the whole globe. And they're two powerful devotees on behalf of the Lord. So you can see, you can realize that who Srila Prabhupada is, what kind of person he is. He is a devotee of the Lord, and to him, that's what matters, that what somebody has done to glorify his Lord. He's appreciating that somebody has glorified, whether it's in form of Christianity or in the form of Muslim. What is the Muslim religion? What do you call Christian?
Islam.
So whether it's Christianity or whether it's Islam, he's appreciating them. And it's not just some preaching technique he's using. You know, sometimes we're, you know, at least speaking for myself, you go and talk to somebody, you know, out. I've done little whatever preaching outside, going on Harinam and talking to people. And you say, yes, we, you know, Jesus Christ, we believe he's Son of God. And, you know, you kind of say all those words to, you know, make them favorable, and then hopefully they'll take a book and stuff like that, you know, using that as a technique. But no, Prabhupada is not using this as a technique. This is what he's feeling. He's saying that this is what these great Vaishnavas, or great devotees, have done, is Jesus Christ and Muhammad, they're powerful devotees. Now the next sentence, again, I'm pointing this out because Sukadeva Goswami is saying that you take shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Maharaj Parikshit is saying that the devotees are as good as the Lord. How is that they're as good as the Lord? How is that they are all the nice things that we've been hearing, they take away distress of others, that they are inconceivable, they are auspicious, all those qualities that were described by Maharaj Parikshit and by Sukadeva Goswami, how can they be attributed to a devotee of the Lord? So in this purport, that's what I'm trying to point out here. In the next sentence, that's another amazing sentence, Srila Prabhupada is saying, if the leadership of world affairs is entrusted to the devotees of the Lord, for which a worldwide organization under the name and style of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has already been started, then by the grace of the Almighty Lord, there can be a thorough change of heart in human beings all over the world, because the devotees of the Lord are able authorities to effect such a change. Now, we know that when this purport was written, the International Society of Krishna Consciousness was just formed. It was just newly formed. I mean, this was very recently, very after Srila Prabhupada formed, because this is the second canto. We were just discussing that maybe last week or something, trying to figure out when it was. But I was saying that how the society was formed, but it was, who knows how many devotees were there at that time. And these are all new devotees. And Srila Prabhupada is saying that this organization can do it all, so to speak. It shows Srila Prabhupada's faith in Krishna, but it also shows his faith in his disciples. I mean, they're just new people. Just came from the street and maybe just started following the regulative principles, and maybe not. But he had the faith that this can do. This International Society for Krishna Consciousness, for which a worldwide organization, it has been started. And he's thinking, Srila Prabhupada is thinking, not thinking, but he has faith that they can take the leadership of world affairs. But this is what a devotee is. They have so much faith that they think they can do that because they have faith in the Almighty Lord. He says, by the grace of the Almighty Lord, that the International Society for Krishna Consciousness can do that. I was thinking that Srila Prabhupada had this faith and he expected his disciples to do so. We see that, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the verse is Kirata Huna Andhra Pulinda, is talking about all the races. So we know Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's the one who started initially, the very first one who sent his book to the university in Montreal. And we know Bhaktisiddhanta also sent some of his disciples to London. So this idea of preaching to all the races started with Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Srila Prabhupada continued. But the amazing part about Srila Prabhupada is now all these personalities, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Prabhupada, they are from Bharata Bhumi. Lord Chaitanya says all those who are born in Bharata Bhumi, they have to go out and give this to everybody. It's their responsibility. So they did that. But the amazing part about Srila Prabhupada is that he did that, but he gave that same spirit to the Kiratas, Hunas, Andhras, Pulinda, Pulkasa, Yavana, Malechas, everybody. That is his special thing, that he gave that. But it doesn't stop there. He gave it so nicely that his followers, his disciples, were able to give to us. That is the most amazing part. It didn't stop. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave that to Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta gave it to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada gave it to his disciples gave it to the next generation, and the next generation is giving to the next generation. And that is true. It is true that the spirit that Srila Prabhupada is expressing here, that almost like take over the world, that spirit hasn't been lost. I was just talking to last week to one devotee here, young man, Sham Allard, that's Kirtan's son, and very nice young man, very inspirational talking to him. So, you know, because of some work, we were discussing something, and so he's a content writer for this Hindu American Foundation. This Hindu American Foundation was actually established here in Gainesville. The person who established it went to UF, and they formed this foundation. And so he is a writer for that foundation. It's an online thing or whatever. They help the Hindus and it's Americans and, you know. So I asked him what kind of articles does he write. So he, you know, he said that it's the articles they write something about India, something, you know, about religion, about whatever that represents Hinduism, so to speak. And that also included first Rath Yatra in America. So he got to write that. Very nice article. You can go on Hindu American Foundation. You can read all his articles. Very good writer. Certainly he has to follow what, how they want to present it, you know, and can't be any bias. Again, Srila Prabhupada, it's almost like same mood, is not to be biased, appreciating all the religions and everything. So appreciating, not kind of focusing on one thing, but appreciating the bhakti in all situations. But talking to him further, I said, what would you really like to do? And he said, what I really want to do, I'm hoping that that could happen, is that I would like to be a writer about, in this Hindu American Foundation, to present Gaudiya Vaishnavism. That's what he wants to do. And I realized that that spirit that Srila Prabhupada had passed on is passed on to the younger generation. And that's what he wants to do, is to be able to present what he has been given to the people in general. And we see that our younger generation, either they're going out on they do kirtans, they're definitely in the whole scene of kirtans where they are doing kirtan and along with the kirtan, saying some basic philosophy. So, in other words, what Srila Prabhupada had wanted to do, because of who he is, because he has the full faith that the Almighty Lord can actually purify the dust-worn minds of people in, I thought that was pretty funny, the dust-worn minds of the people in general, that he said that we can do that. He can do it, but he has given us that we can do it. And so we should have, if we want to be considered as good as the Lord, as identical, that one in CC also described as identical to the Lord. The devotees are identical to the Lord. So if we want to be identical with the Lord, if we want to be as good as the Lord, then all we have to do is take shelter of the devotees of the Lord, which means to follow their instructions. And to follow their mood, to follow the mood of what Srila Prabhupada is giving, his broad-minded, his large heart, his big heart, glorifying Jesus Christ and Muhammad. Talking about that, another thing that I recently was talking to this resident of Krishna House, his name is Sean. Very, very, very interesting fellow. I hope you get a chance to speak to him. But he was talking about his life to us, myself and Sesha Prabhu. And I asked him, I said, could you please write your whole journey, so to speak, till now to me? And so he was very kind enough to do so. But just giving a little glimpse about Jesus Christ, a powerful devotee. So, you know, since he grew up with a single mom, working, and he said sleeping all the time and working all the time. And so he was just free to do anything and whatever. So he really got into some bad things. And by the time he said he was 12 years old, he was doing drugs and sex and everything. So finally they put him into a juvenile place to, you know, reform him or whatever. And then he went to foster care. And he got out of there at 18, because he's an adult, he can do whatever he wants. And so he got into really, he says, very, very sinful activity. And he ended up in jail. And when he was in jail, he got a Bible. And he said it took him 20 days to read the Bible. After reading that, he really liked it. He really liked the Bible. Now, we're talking about somebody who was very, 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 very sinful. And he finally read the Bible, and it got some interest for him in spiritual life. So then after reading Bible, he said, I want to see what else is there as far as spiritual life. So you name it. He read all the books. He read Quran. He read, you know, it's a long journey he writes about, but basically he finally gets to read the Upanishads. That's interesting. And after he reads the Upanishads, he gets the Bhagavad Gita. and he gets reads Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, you can see that how this great devotee, Jesus Christ, helped him to take a different path in his life. And finally, when he came to Bhagavad Gita, then he describes that all the things that he gave up, and I have a list of things, of all the things that he gave up. He gave up eating meat, smoking, drinking alcohol, smoking marijuana, drinking caffeine, taking pain medicine, other recreational drugs, sex life, material gain, and I gave up all my hobbies for fun and picked up learning scripture and performing service. So this is what has done, spiritual life has brought him to, as he's actually enjoys all that. And then he writes, in the end he writes to me, he says there are two things that he remembers. He says, there are two teachings that come to my mind a lot. One is from Jesus and the other is from Krishna. Jesus says, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. Wow. In his writing, he describes that he sees the same teachings of Jesus and Krishna. But he says that Krishna's teachings are complete, and we all can understand that. He says they are same teachings, but Krishna's teachings are complete. So this we can see that must be a slave of all, and that is what Jesus said, and we say the same thing, to be a servant of all. And then for Krishna, he remembers this. Such a yogi who engages in the worshipful service of the Supersoul, knowing that I and the Supersoul are one, remains always in me in all circumstances. He is a perfect yogi who, by comparison of his own self, sees the true equality of all beings in both their happiness and their distress. So this is just one story that we know of one person who is a resident of Krishna House. But yes, so many people have been affected by such great souls in any kind of religion. Even one time I've heard, now I don't know if somebody can tell me where this is from, because I know I didn't dream it and I know I didn't make it up. But I heard that Srila Prabhupada, one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada that if a devotee takes leadership position, but he specifically said, if a devotee becomes a president of America, would he make everybody Krishna conscious? And then Srila Prabhupada said, no, he would encourage everybody to follow their own religion. So does anybody know that where that came from? Has anybody heard that? Come on. Interview. I couldn't find it.
It could be with Balwanta Prabhu or it could be the Amarendra Prabhu. I'll look it up.
Please find it. It was something to that extent. I remember hearing that, but I have no idea where. We should always tell where we heard from, but I don't remember where I heard that from. Yes.
I was talking to Balwanta about that, about the president, because Balwanta was running for mayor. So
maybe it was Balwanta Prabhu.
I talked to Balwanta about that.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you. So yes, so this is what it means. In conclusion, I just have to say that we should continue to take shelter of the devotees of the Lord, and by doing so and by following the instructions that are given by Srila Prabhupada and by his followers, that we can become that devotee who can help others from their addiction to sinful activities, purify them, and bring them closer to Krishna. So anybody have any questions or comments or reflections on the subject matter?
I got
yes,
one.
Yes, Sridhiman Prabhu.
Well, I was listening, when I was driving in, it was that you talk about that verse there about Jesus and Muhammad mm-hmm. here. It says, you know, anybody can become perfect if they take shelter of devotees of the Lord. Jesus Christ and Muhammad, two powerful devotees of the Lord, have done tremendous service on behalf of the Lord on the surface of the globe. So does that mean that they were preaching on Bhardavarsh? Bhumandala? Because Bhumandala is quiet.
Well, globe could be the earthly planet. I mean.
So they weren't preaching in a Vedic concept, huh?
My speculation is that Prabhupada is talking here about the earthly planet.
So he's recognizing the earth as a globe?
What's that?
Prabhupada's recognizing the earth as a globe.
Stealing my proof.
I don't know, I'm trying to figure it out, man. So, I'm trying to figure out where we're living.
Well, I'll let you figure it out. And then once you figure it out, then you can let us know.
All right, well then, maybe it's many things at one time.
Any other comments? Questions? Yes, Sirikam Prabhu.
Sometimes there's questions that if you were to compare Jesus and Muhammad, and I think I wrote something that Jesus was like an empowered incarnation. He was on a special platform. Muhammad was like just a regular human being, but Jesus was on a special platform. He was, you know, I mean, he did so many.
Could you say, why do you say about Muhammad? I mean, here Prabhupada is saying two powerful devotees.
Yeah, no, well, what I'm saying that Jesus, I mean, he performed so many miracles. You know, he brought the dead back. I mean, even great sages had problem even doing that. You know, and he, so many things, you know. Muhammad, on the other hand, he was preaching, but he was preaching with a sword. Sword, you know, I mean, it's either you lose your life or you take what I'm saying, you know. So Jesus was preaching love, you know. So we can at least appreciate that Muhammad, you know, he did something, but Jesus was on a far greater level than Muhammad, so far.
You know.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody has any comment on that, but I just tend to take what Srila Prabhupada is saying here.
Yeah, you know, I was just trying to make some
distinction. Did Srila Prabhupada make any distinction as far as Muhammad and Jesus? Anybody knows? Anyway, but whatever, they both are powerful devotees. One may be less, one may be more, but that's fine. Yes?
Prabhupada said that Jesus is our guru. Prabhupada actually referred to Jesus as Lord Jesus Christ, always.
Yeah.
And he said, he's our guru.
Yeah. Well, the main thing what I took from that is Srila Prabhupada's humility and his broad-mindedness, his large heart, and his love for Krishna. That's how I see it more than anything else when I read that statement, that how much he loves his Lord and he appreciates whoever is preaching about their Lord. So I felt like it was on a very different platform what he's writing there. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much for your kind attention. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.